Buckle up. This podcast is going to be all about the journey. Hi, I'm Clara, your host of Talk Journey to Me podcast. I'm so glad you're here. This podcast really stemmed from the thought that everyone comes from a different background and how they have handled their highs and lows of life. Join us as we dive deeper into my guest's story. Welcome back to another episode of A Talk Journey to Me. I'm so excited to have my lovely cousin on that I didn't really like when I first met her because I thought I was the only grandchild, Jennifer, and I'm so excited. We were supposed to do this a while ago when we were in person together, but it didn't happen, which is fine. But now, right. Now it's happening. So for anyone who obviously doesn't know you, who are you? And tell us some deets.
Okay. Well, thank you, Clara, for having me. I'm her cousin, and I will tell a little bit of the story about how we're related in a minute. And I'm Jennifer Howerton. I'm from Edmond, Oklahoma. I'm married to my soulmate and best friend, David. And we have a blended family together. I have two bonus boys, Jaden and Hunter, and then I have Cooper and Stella. And I'm a mom first, but I'm also an executive assistant for a doctor who owns some of our rural hospitals in Oklahoma. So I assist her in those things. But first and foremost, I'm a mom and a wife, and that's just about me. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
I know. Me too. So it's funny. So I automatically like assume that we're going to talk about like how we became family because we're technically blood related, but we didn't know about you until I was 12, right? Because you were 18.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. So I think we're going to talk about your adoption process, which is going to be cool.
Yes. Yes. So I'm adopted. My mom and dad, couldn't have kids. They were married for about 10 years-ish before they could have kids. And so kind of back then, because I will say I'm 39. So back in the day, a lot of people didn't do in vitro. They really just went with the fact of you just can't have kids and we don't know why. Either you don't have kids or here's an adoption process. So, you know, it's a really cool story to tell. I love sharing it. And so I'm glad that I get to share it with Clara and the rest of the world. But so people always ask me, when did you know you were adopted? And I can tell you that my brother and sister and I were all from three different families. All of our biological moms were different ages when they had us. Some of us were private adoption, which was me and my brother and sister were through an adoption agency, but we've always known. I can't tell you because everyone says, well, so when did your parents sit you down and say, you know what, you're adopted and, you know, your mom didn't have, you know, like you're not biological. And I just can't tell you then. I can tell you that there was a adoption agency that my brother and sister were through, and they wanted to do a video of us when I was in fifth grade. And so that's kind of the main, I mean, I never knew when I was, it was neither here nor there. I didn't care. My dad always instilled in us that just remember that you were chosen and that everybody else's parents had to keep them, which was a running joke because my dad would always be like, well, we're going to take you back to the orphanage. And I'd be like, okay, whatever. He's like, no, you guys are our chosen. And those are people that my dad prayed for us that we would all be blended and we would all resemble one another. And we do, we act the same. I mean, we have a lot of mannerisms that are different with our family, but then it's very cool to see with my biological family and how I do, you know, hands motions, how we talk, how we, you know, explain things. So anyway, so that was kind of the thing I knew in fifth grade. It was a thing because some of the kids that I went to school with went to that church. And so, you know, everybody knew we were adopted, but it was a really cool process. So we grow up, being a woman, a girl, whatever, you always want to know, you always are curious about who you look like, who is there any kind of health issues? I mean, just, you just are curious. my sister and I are both are very curious individuals. My brother, he's 35 years old. He could care less who his biological mom and dad are. He loves my parents. Not that we don't love my parents, but he has no interest. It doesn't bother mm-hmm. him one bit. He just goes with the flow and is like, these are my parents. My sister and I, on the other hand, we were very curious and wanted to know. So we went to a small church in Oklahoma City called Covenant Life at the time. And Mr. McAfee was good friends with a pastor in Ohio named Chuck Reisinger. And at the time, my parents had told Mr. McAfee, like they had told everybody that, please pray for us. We really want to adopt. We just know that, you know, we can't have kids. What can we do? Well, at that time, Chuck had told Mr. McAfee that there was a girl in their congregation that was pregnant and they would like to give, you know, they were going to get put the baby up for adoption. So that is my biological mom, Denise. And just to let everybody know, when I talk about my mom and my dad, it's my mom and my dad. When I talk about my biological family, I will say biological family. So just because everyone always asks me, like, who are you talking about? How does this all work? And I'm like, well, I'm very blessed. I could not imagine carrying a baby for 9 months and giving a baby up for adoption. And I absolutely am truly blessed on that aspect. But I can tell you that there's a lot of hardships and there's a lot of emotions that go with just being adopted, meeting your biological family and whatnot. So my dad said that about 9 or 10 months before they knew that they were going to adopt, they were praying at the church. And to the day that they prayed was the day that they found out that they were going to adopt me, which is really cool because it's very symbolic. Mm-hmm. So my parents, flew to Ohio and they waited in a hotel room because I was born on Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. They waited in a hotel until they were able to come get me, and it was a private adoption. So everything was, just through an attorney or however that worked. It wasn't, my grandparents were part of it. I know that my grandparents really wanted to keep me, but they just knew that it wasn't the best interest. And, which is very interesting how God works, because if they had kept me and then they would have Clara, they would have two grandchildren to have raised. And I think it just works out that you have no idea what's going on. So, so anyway, let's fast forward to, we move on, you know, whatnot. Well, we have a new pastor come to our church in Oklahoma City and his name is Dwight Kunkel. And he is actually from the same area as my grandparents. They had gone back. They had come when I think they started coming to our church when I was like 11. And so it went about 7 years. And Dwight was back in Ohio at a Labor Day retreat. And my grandparents were there, or my grandpa was there, and yep, they were talking. And my grandpa knew my name. They my grandparents knew a lot. They just didn't disclose any of that information because it was private. But he asked, do you have a Jennifer Lynn in your congregation? He was like, I think that's my granddaughter. And this was the beginning. This was in 1999. This is the beginning of my senior year of high school. And so, he comes back, Dwight comes back and talks to my dad. And my dad's like, yes, this is really cool. He's like, Jennifer's always wanted to know. He's like, but you know, I don't know how it's all going to work. So we go along my senior year. I think they had tried to like coordinate for my grandparents to come to my high school graduation and those mm-hmm. kinds of things. But I think that it wasn't the right time. It just wasn't the right, it wasn't the right time. Right. And so, and I'm very grateful for that because I think that you're graduating from high school. That's a whole nother, you know, milestone that you've accomplished. And then the fact that you're going to meet your biological family and then go to college, and it's just a bunch. So my senior year, I graduated high school and I was going to go out with some friends, and my back then it was the tip of the time where we had caller ID on your home phone. So that was the best thing because you would go, obviously I don't even think I had a cell phone, but it was only on emergency basis. It wasn't like it is today. Like, cause I was driving or what, it was my senior year, but it was caller ID. So go home. My mom and I had been shopping and, I come home and I see that it was like unavailable or private or something on the caller ID. And so I asked my dad, I said, who called? And he was like, oh, I don't know. You know, just kind of blew me off. And I was like, okay. And so later on that night, I was like, hey, I'm going to go out with Julie and Kristen and my boyfriend at the time. And he's like, hey, we got to talk to you about something. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, well, I don't know what it is, but I haven't done anything wrong. And he's like, no, you haven't done anything wrong. Cause I thought, I was like, what? Like, I was pretty good at goody two shoes, to be honest. I mean, I was a rule follower. And so I'm like, I don't know what it would be. And he's like, well, he tells me the whole story about how they had been in contact with my grandparents and how that came about and how my biological mom had called to talk to my dad and wanted to, ask how I wanted, you know, if I was interested in talking. And when you're given that opportunity, you have this flood of emotions. Mm-hmm. You don't know. You're excited. You're nervous. You're like, do I really want to do that? I mean, it was all the emotions that you really don't know how to handle. And so I told him, I said, I really think I want to give it a couple of days. I just don't know. I said, this is great. I said, because it is something that you've wanted, like you really truly want to know who you look like and talk to somebody and know all these things. I said, but at the same point, that's a whole nother can of worms that you're opening up. Like, do I really want to? So, another little tidbit of back in the day, it was AOL Instant Messenger. And that's how you communicated with your friends that were not in the, you know, in the same area as you. So I decided that that would be the way that we would communicate with one another and that I could pretty much ask her anything I wanted to. And it be comfortable and safe for me, mm-hmm. knowing that if I didn't really want to talk to her on the phone or ever meet her, like I don't have to, because I'm setting the groundwork for our relationship on based on just talking, like texting or whatever, pretty much mm-hmm. texting. So we talk or we, you know, instant message or whatever. And then she wants to call. And I remember telling my mom, oh my goodness, Denise wants to call. And my mom's like, it's okay. Like, you know, you do what you want to do. And I can tell you that my parents, as difficult as I can say it probably was for them, they knew that it was okay to let down their guard because I was still their daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom struggled with it more than my dad, I think, because I wasn't meeting my biological dad. I was meeting my biological mom, and, you know, my mom, that would be hard. I don't think it's, you know, it's rough. But she knew that she was the one that was with me when I was teething, when I was growing up, when I had my first heartbreak, when, you know, whatever it was. So, you know, you can't take those things away from somebody that raised you. Right. So anyway, goodness. I knew I'd be emotional, but not this emotional. Anyway,
I can't give you tissues like I did.
Dr. I know. I'm like, goodness, I don't even have any tissues near me. It'll be okay. So, so I talked to her on the phone, and this was about July-ish of 2000, and she came out. So then she decided she was going to come out and visit, and she came out and visited in August of 2000, like right before maybe even Labor Day. I can't remember exactly, but she came out to visit and meet us and stayed at a hotel, and we had a good time. It was great meeting her, getting to see, you know, who you look like and whatnot. So then it was kind of one of those things that I started coming to, I came to visit for the first time at Thanksgiving of 2000. So that was my freshman year of college. And it worked out. Like, it was the very first time I'd ever flown by myself anywhere. And I got stuck. So Thanksgiving with my dad's mother was very important because my dad was an only child. My grandma was an only child. And so our family had those traditions. So my grandmother had a really hard time with me coming to visit for Thanksgiving because she's like, how can these people just come into your life and take over, you know, like our holiday? And so I had to explain to her like how important this was to me because I was her oldest grandchild and I was very close to her and we had the best relationship. And that's because I just loved spending time with her and always doing things with her. So I had to explain to her like, grandmother, nobody's taking your spot and nobody's taking your granddaughter away. Like, I'm still going to be back. I promise. I'm just Thanksgiving. It's just a day that we eat turkey and everybody gets together. Yes, we need to be thankful, but you can be thankful and we can celebrate happy Thanksgiving on whatever other day. It doesn't matter that it falls on the fourth Thursday of the month, you know, November. So anyway, so I go and visit for the first time. I actually get stuck in Dallas overnight for my very first plane ride. My mom wanted to drive to Dallas to get me and sit with me. And my dad's like, by the time we get there, she's going to be going to bed and have to get on their plane the next day. So anyway, so that was quite the experience, my first time flying. So I get to Ohio and Thanksgiving was a big holiday for them because my Aunt Deanna and her husband Dominic and kid, well, no, they didn't even have any kids then, but they would come at Thanksgiving.
Jacob and that's wasn't there.
Yeah, Jacob wasn't there. That Jacob actually was the cousin and they had just found out she was pregnant with him or something like that. Or maybe that he was a boy. What year was he born?
He's 10 years younger than me. So 2001. No.
Okay. So yeah. So they had found out they were pregnant. I think they just found out what they were having or whatever. So it was really exciting to be there and meet everybody. And so they did like Christmas. That's kind of when they did Christmas is always what I remember. So remember. So hold on a second. So my dad had told me the whole, let me back up because I missed the part. I said, my dad had always told me that how the whole story came about and how he, you know, knew how much I wanted to meet them and whatnot. And he said, you know, he really prayed that the time would be right and the time would be fitting. Because so many people prayed. And if you don't believe in God, it's really hard for me to like even remotely talk about my story because there is a higher power and he was in control the entire time. Mm-hmm. He, because people knew one another, and people were so faithful and listened to their gut and listened to what God was telling them or it wouldn't have happened. Right. My grandmother is one of the most, well, both of my grandparents are, but my grandmother is one of the most religious, faithful women you will ever meet in your entire life. And those that don't know her, I'm sorry that you don't know her because
She's probably praying over you, even though you don't even know.
Yes. And mm-hmm. she helped me with my relationship with my grandmother because my grandma Peggy, Mama is what we call her. She sent letters to my grandmother and let her know, I'm not taking your granddaughter. I want you to know that I just want to love her. Have you got to love her? And it was a very good thing because my grandmother broke down all those walls. And I think that helped knowing that she's just the most faithful person in the entire world. She, like Claire said, she prays for you no matter what. If you ever told her, you know what, my friend Julie that has this kid who has this one kid, she would be like, okay, what's their name? Can I send them a car? I mean, like she would always want to mail something to them or let them know that she's thinking of them. And She wrote letters to me every day, year on my birthday. And she wrote a, what do you call those? Annual letter, like a family letter, like a newsletter. And yeah. She sealed them all up because she believed one day that she would get to meet me. How do you go 18 years going, I'm going to get to meet my granddaughter one day? I mean, honestly, if you told somebody that, they'd look at you like you had two heads and be like, okay, lady, you're crazy, because nobody, that doesn't happen. Like,
right.
No, you give them up, you move on. Sorry. Like, you don't get that benefit. So she gave me those letters, and that was something very nice because I got to be a part of the family and read those letters and see what was going on through Clara's mom's life. Those things that I wasn't around because I didn't know, but I got to be a part of them, reading about them and whatnot. And so it was nice to see. And I had pictures that she would put of everybody at the different stages. And so it was very, heartfelt. Like, it was just very heartwarming to know that
you were thought of during that whole time.
Yes, like, it wasn't like you were not pretty much like put on your doorstep and see you later, like, right. We're not gonna see you. So that's one thing that I love. I can tell you that it is stressful to have two families because you go through holidays or just keeping up. But I'm very blessed because I my Aunt Darlene is like an older sister. And I know Clara feels the same way. You have those people that you weren't given that in your, like, I'll say normal life, your given life. I said, but you get that as an extra bonus, an added bonus. And she's the best thing because it's, she's my sounding board. Like, she's so level headed and she makes you think completely different, about things. And she's so positive. Like, sometimes it just wears you out.
It's nausea. Yeah, that's like, saying something for us. Cause we're overall like a positive, like, family.
Yeah. Like, And I'm like, golly, can you just be negative for a minute? Because she's not perfect. She does say negative things, but you want her. I mean, everybody needs a Darlene in your life. You need somebody that you can talk to and tell, like she's talked about, she's a no judge. She's a no judge, judge free zone. Like, she's just, amazing. And so, again, there's a lot of stress in the relationship with my biological mom. It's just a different relationship. And it's very, I'm very guarded now that I have kids, because, it's just a different dynamic when you're explaining to your kids about adoption and how they're so very...
They don't have three sets of grandparents, or they don't have two sets of grandparents. They have three.
Yes. So it's very, and they love it. We try to go and visit every July, which is my grandmother's birthday. And we've done that we've only missed a couple of times. And so they love it. I mean, and it's not, and they know it's not a vacation where you're sitting on the beach or playing in the pool. It's family time, and they love it and they thrive on it. And we went and we spent an entire week this last July, and we had so much fun. I mean, it's just funny to see the kids, how they react to something that is so little, but it means so much to my biological family, and them getting to see their great grandchildren and get to see them, have a relationship with them and get to interact with them on a personal level, even though, we live so far away. But again, it's a blessing, and I'm very grateful for my journey and being able to tell my story, because I love telling it and I love sharing it because I think that without God, it wouldn't have been possible. Without people being so in tune with other people's lives and what was going on, that, you know, my parents wouldn't have had the opportunity to, if they hadn't have been going to this church. And I mean, who would have thought in 1,000 years that some other family would come to Oklahoma and know my biological grandparents and know where they came from. And we never put two and two together until my senior year, and how timing is everything. And timing, you know, it's in God's timing, and it's in the way that He wants it to happen. And it's not going to be on your schedule. And I think as a kid, I always was like, I want to know who they are. Like, I want to know where I come from. And did I have any siblings? And I don't have any siblings. Well, I say that. I don't have any siblings on my biological mom's side. I don't know my biological father's side. It's just a different dynamic. And that's perfectly fine. Would I like to know who he is and what he looks like? Yes, I would. I don't need that relationship, I don't think. I have a wonderful family, and I don't need any more drama and stress in my life anyway. So
ditto.
It's just, you know, it's a blessing with what I have. I don't feel like I need any more. I don't feel like I'm searching and I'm looking for those answers. I feel like I'm fulfilled, and those things are, cause it's a different, I mean, it's a lot of, stress isn't the right word. It's just like a different feeling of, you have two families, like you have two of everything. So you want to like keep everybody happy and like know that you love them. Just, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know how to explain it.
Do you think after meeting, like, because at that point, I think we all came out then to meet your family.
Yes.
Because then Mindy is close to my age.
Yes.
And then so, like, how do you, like, did your parents, like, they're so calm and they're so, like, and welcoming and inviting. I couldn't imagine like opening my home and my heart and everything to like this whole nother family.
Yes. I think that, I mean, I grew up in a Christian family. We were raised, I mean, we went to church. I went to a private Christian school. So, you know, I believe in God, and I know that my dad is very faithful. And I think that he prayed a lot. And he also, I will say, I kind of spin back, he always prayed that we would represent my mother and my father, or, you know, carry some of their characteristics, their traits. And we do. I mean, if you saw my sister and my mom, you would not think that people even say that my sister and I look alike, and we'll either be like, you're just trying to make conversation with us, or you're full of crap because we're adopted. Like, but you do start to look like those that you are around. So, I mean, I think that they just knew that God gave them the biggest gift that they could ever imagine. And that was, you know, not that they had to do that for, you know, Bob and Peggy, but that, and those are my grandparents, that they wanted to, because they were so blessed by what they had given up. And that if it wasn't for them and the decisions that they had really made, I wouldn't be their daughter. I wouldn't be their, you know, be there. And so I think that, I mean, my dad's a really good sounding board too. And he will do what he thinks is in the best interest of everyone. And it was a good experience because we did get to meet. And it is funny how you and Mindy are. So, I mean, y'all are the exact same age. And so how big of a difference there is, because Mindy and I are 8 years apart, and that's a huge difference. no matter where you are at. I mean, we're, you know, I'm 16 driving, she's turning 8. So, I mean, there's a huge difference and we're a lot closer than we ever were. And she'll tell you that I hated her. I did not hate her, but she just wanted to steal my clothes or steal what I had and all these things. And you don't realize that that's like what little sisters do. They want to be the bigger sister. They want to do those things. Well, at that time, you don't, I mean, there's no, you're not given a book on how you're supposed to react when your sister and you are 8 years apart. So, I mean, it's just things like understanding that it was a blessing. Mm-hmm. She was just wanting to look up to her older sister and we're closer than we ever have. And I'm very grateful because she's the best aunt to my kids. And, she's very involved and I'm very proud of how far she's come. Yeah. Because again, it's not all roses and fairy tales when it comes to knowing your biological family, because you bring out a lot of, I'll say, skeletons in the closet that people don't, I mean, there's some people that in our biological family that didn't even know I even existed. So it's just a very thing that I think people as family members, we have to remember that you're family and it doesn't matter what, everybody needs to respect one another on their decisions because nobody's perfect. Some people's mistakes are bigger than others, but we all wouldn't be on this world in this world if Adam and Eve hadn't made decisions that they did. And you really have to, and I'm really not trying to be all religious, but I just think that everybody has to realize that everybody makes mistakes and you have to love your family through the good, the bad, and the ugly. It doesn't matter. You know, you might not agree with them. I mean, that's what we're human. It's the best thing that we're given, that we don't have, I don't have to agree with what you think and you don't have to agree with what I think. I mean, it's called being human and being a person and having your own thoughts and whatnot. Like, you don't have to, but I think that that did really teach me something, that everybody has hard times in their family. Everybody's family is not perfect. And if you can't bond together over people's mistakes or people's hardships or the little things that they're going through, you're not doing yourself any favors. And I think that people just need to, you know, be kind and love one another and really love one another. Not just say, oh, I love you, I'm thinking of you. No, like, what do you have going on today? And it doesn't even matter. It doesn't have to be family either. I'm just saying that I think families need to realize that everybody has their own, I don't want to say skeletons, but those deep, dark secrets that, that communicating and talking about them, I've never in my million years can tell you that communication, everyone always says, oh, well, yeah, you need to communicate, but people really need to communicate. You really need to tell your feelings, how you're frustrated, what's going on. Cause if you don't, it just builds up and builds up. And then you're just going to have a volcano of being mad and it's not solving anything. So again, nobody likes confrontation. Nobody, I mean, I don't go up and go, I can't wait to like confront somebody today, cause I don't like confrontation, but I do want to get it out of the open. And you feel so much better and you just release that tension and that stress that you don't realize you carry with you. So I kind of rambled there for a minute, but I just want people to realize that family is important and that you need to talk about things within your own family, that it's okay. Cause everybody has stuff going on.
So with, like, say someone who's listening is adopted and they're really like toying with the fact of, do I search for my biological family? Do I even open that can of worms? Do I not? Like, how, like, what's some advice or like what, like, really helped you through that time of like, okay, you gave yourself a couple of days, like what then triggered you to be like, okay, I can do X, Y, and Z, and this is what I'm comfortable with?
I think because I've always wanted to know. I've always had that just nudging at me going, do you really want to know who you look like or what you, I mean, I think that's just the funny part, is just being a woman in general. Like, you just kind of want to know, I mean, the chin, like if you poke, I mean, we all have the chin. I couldn't tell you which side of the thing. Is that a Springer? Or is that Dunford?
I don't know.
I don't know. No idea. So it's somebody in our family. We all have the same chin. I mean, like, we all look alike. I could tell you that whenever I would come back to Ohio and I would go to church or whatever, everybody would be staring at me going, who is that? Oh my goodness. She looks like their family, but who is she? Well, mm-hmm. I want to just be like, hello, I'm the long lost biological granddaughter that is back to visit, like, enough. But I mean, that's just human too. I mean, you're just wondering, but we do all look alike. But I think that if you really do have that gut wrenching wanting to do it, do it. My sister did it. She did the 23andMe, and it took 2.5 years for a match, and her cousin reached out to her. And so it's a really cool, I mean, those kinds of things are really neat because you do get to see family. And I think that the people that do those things do them because they want to know. You don't do 23andMe or whatever the ancestry thing. You don't do those genealogy spit in a tube to find out your DNA if you don't really want to know. So I think that if you want to do it, because, you know, and again, your biological family could have a terrible life, have a terrible background, have made poor decisions, and you have to realize that you have to take those on too. Like, you're going to have to, those are going to be other obstacles that you're going to have to overcome, but you can't live in fear, and you can't live in doubt and uncertainty. Cause if you do, you're not going to get the answers that you are looking for. And the answers that you're looking for might not be the answers that you want them to be. So you have to be comfortable knowing that it's not all roses. I mean, it really is not. And I think that another thing that I will say is my sister did experience that, because being the oldest when I was and growing up, after knowing my Bob and Peggy grandparents, I said, they would send me, you know, they'd send me money or send me little gifts or whatever, like throughout the year. Well, my sister, being 8 years younger than me, I think saw it as, oh my goodness, like, this is glorious. Like, she gets like all these fun things and gets gifts and money. And it's, yes, but there's emotions that tie to those things too. I mean, very grateful. Yes, I loved it. And you loved it back in the day. You loved getting like snail mail is what I call it. But those are fun things. I said, but you still had the rest of the relationship of getting to know people and getting your feelings hurt for things and getting the fresh, you and I've come a long way. I mean, I think that you have to realize that at 12 years old, I come into your life, you're like, who the heck is this girl? And why does she think that she gets to come in and be the old? I mean, I'm really, out of my grandmother's sisters and their kids, I'm the oldest grandchild that nobody knew about. And so it's just funny to me because they're all like, oh, one of them was going to be older. And I'm like, I'm really older by like 6 months. And it's just funny to me because, again, nobody knew any of those things. But again, if you have that urge and you want that, go for it. And my sister will be the same to tell you too. She had some rough, it was rough and emotional and stressful. But she also got a sense of, I mean, she got to meet, if she hadn't had done that, she would not have got to meet her biological grandmother, and her grandmother just passed away sometime this year. So she got to do those things. She didn't get to meet her grandfather, who Mindy looked, I mean, spit an image of him. And so she would have got to meet a lot of people. And it's a good thing, because I mean, I think that her grandmother, it was a good sense of closure for her grandmother too, to be able to see and know who she was, and knew that what they did was a good thing, and that giving a baby up for adoption is very, very hard. And, but they did the right thing and they, you know, it ended all well for everybody. So again, go for it, do it.
But just know that the answers yes. you're looking for may not be may all not sunshine be, and rainbows.
Yes. And they, no, they're, and, or as Darlene says, sparkle and shine. There's yeah. not going to be a lot of sparkle and shine.
There's not always sparkle
and shine. No, there's not always. There's going to be tears. No. There's going to be.
There still is sleep. Tears.
There's still tears.
Wanting to cuss nights. Everyone out. And
yes. Yes. All the above. Yes. Yeah. All the above. All yeah. the above.
Because I mean, even with our relationship, like I was the oldest. I was raised by my grandparents. Like, nobody, like Darlene knew because she knew that Denise was pregnant and she was uh-huh. in
first grade, kindergarten.
Yeah. So like they all knew this. So then when I grew up, I thought I was like the only thing. And then Jacob comes in and I'm like, okay, this is fine. But then I'm like, who's this chick? And why is she older? And why, what's going on? And you all knew about this, but you weren't going to say anything.
Uh-huh.
But then what if I really comprehended it back then? Probably not.
No.
So, and I mean,
no.
Our whole family, I mean, even with that timing, like if we would have known when you were like 6 or 7, like when you started to think those things and actually actively like want to know, like at that point, I was then being born. And that was a whole nother thing with our family that was going on. So then I feel like that was just, I mean, even when my mom passed away, I was 5. We're 8 years apart. That puts you at 13. Like you as a teenager coming into that, you probably still would have been like, what the heck's going on? You know, like it just would have been a whole, like the timing is, it was everything.
Yes,
and I think even the timing of like when I moved to Texas, I feel like that's where everything kind of turned with our relationship because I couldn't afford to go back for the holidays. And like your family was very open that your parents didn't have to invite me to things. Like that didn't have to happen. Like right. they could have been like, no, you're not our family, but that's not the type of people they are.
No, it's not.
But I kind of just invited myself sometimes. But, you
that's
know.
Okay, though. It all worked out. I mean, they are the most open arms to anybody. It doesn't matter if, I mean, they take care of everybody. And that's one thing that I think that we're very blessed because they've taught us that. They've taught us to love people no matter their walk of life, to stand up for what you believe in. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I mean, it's very interesting though, because I say this, my grandparents, Bob and Peggy, Mama and Papa, they have the same values mm-hmm. as my parents.
100%.
Out of everybody in the entire world, there's not very many times that the people that raised you or could have raised you have the same beliefs, are going to love everybody around them, mm-hmm. are going to take care of everybody. I mean, it's just crazy to think that, I mean, it's amazing to right. think that that you have the same.
It's like
that. It's
like God knew if this child cannot be with this family, this child is going to blossom in the same type of family, but in 5 states over.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, and I mean, you know, Darlene and I, we're very close. And so we have talked about it a lot, but I think that, you know, I wouldn't have had the life that I have and that you wouldn't have had the life that you have.
Mm-hmm.
If we were in the same life together at the exact same time. Like, I think that it's, you know, it just works out perfect because, you know, they were able to be grandparents and parents and be great grandparents now. And like those things, they don't, you know.
I mean, I'm even thinking with like my health situation, it's nuts to think of if they would have kept you and raised you 8 years later, would they have, with the epidemic, like, would they have actually chose to keep me?
Right.
Or would I have been the one to be adopted? Like, you never know, mm-hmm. like full circle, like they could have been scared for like your well-being at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, cause there would have been someone else to have to like look at. Whereas it was just one at that point.
Yep. It is very interesting to see how
completely like full circle, like holy moly.
It is.
But yeah.
But I'm very blessed, and I'm glad that I was able to share my story and mm-hmm. let everyone know that, you know, adoption is a really big, amazing thing, that God works in mysterious ways. And it doesn't matter if, I mean, I have friends that adopt from all over the world. And so it's, when I see that they're wanting to do that and they're wanting to give back, cause that is something, I mean, I don't necessarily want to adopt. I'm too old, so I feel like, to really want to like start completely over, but I would love to eventually foster some kids and give them the love and attention that they need, because, you know, there are so many kids that are needed to be loved. I mean, they need love. And just because, you know, their parents might have made poor decisions, it doesn't mean that you can't come in and fill those void for the moment. So it's something that we've been praying about and thinking about, and I'm sure it'll be another little story to talk about one day.
Right. Tune in to the next one.
Yes.
But yeah. So thank you so much for hopping on. And I know that for anyone, if they are listening and they're thinking about going down that road or anything like that, I know that you're also an open arms and open ears, and
yes.
share all the good, bad, ugly, but then also share all the sunshine and rainbows. And
oh yes.
So
you are welcome to find me on Facebook, and I will give you all the dirt and the details that you want to know of what all, I mean, it is, again, it's just an emotional roller coaster, but it's a good emotional roller coaster. It's a good feeling. It's not I wouldn't tell the story, and I wouldn't talk about it if I wasn't excited about it. So,
right. No, 100% agree. So thank you again for hopping on.
Thank you.
Thank you to my lovely listeners, and tune in next week to a great episode.